Hello and welcome to The Future Report, a podcast hosted by social research company McCrindle for anyone curious about the future. My name is Ashley Fell, and each week I'll be sitting down with a guest to discuss a topic or trend that you need to know about. If you've ever attended a conference, you will know that organizing one is no small feat. As we navigate an era defined by rapid technological advancements and global shifts, conferences and gatherings are undergoing significant transformations as well. From changing audience dynamics to the integration of human-centric technology, the future of conferences and events is marked by innovation, inclusivity, and purpose. So, joining me to explore the key trends influencing conferences and the intricacies that redefine how we come together in the business world is McCrindle's principal, Mark McCrindle. Hey, Mark, welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks, Ash.
We love this topic. We should be experts on it because you and I and a few other members of this team spend a lot of time at conferences and speaking at conferences. We're also considered professional speakers. And I'd be keen, Mark, for you to divulge to our listeners what you believe this is. How would you describe what a professional speaker is to someone who hadn't, say, heard of that term before?
I remember one of our speaking colleagues out on the speaking circuit said when he first advertised or wanted to advertise his services as a speaker, they were listing him under sound equipment and hi-fi gear. So a speaker is certainly not that. A speaker being someone who's an expert, someone who is a professional in a realm and gets to share that knowledge through keynote presentations or training or other consulting input. So that's what the world of the professional speaker is. And from our little field of demographics and social research, we get the great joy and privilege to share at conferences, events, and for organizations, insights in terms of how Australia or the world is changing, what the trends are, how we can prepare our organizational strategies to be relevant and meet the shifts that are coming our way, our generational insights, demographic trends, technology, social change. All of those areas are areas we research, and that's what we get to speak on and hopefully, you know, add a bit of value and help organizations with their own plans.
Yeah. And I remember prior, of course, to working at McCrindle, you know, you know, of course, that business events and conferences take place. But it was not until I started working here and then got involved in the event speaking space myself that you just realize how many business conference and events that are run every year, even from the ones that the hundreds that we speak at, to then if you're at like a convention center and the one that you're involved with is one of maybe 5 or 10 that are being held that day for every association under the sun and lots of different organizations running their own internal events. So it is a really big space, a really important space. And like that introduction, I think alluded to, it's a point for gathering and connection and learning and networking. So there's lots of different reasons behind why an organization or an association would put on an event. But for us, I think particularly as people who are really involved with crafting content from a platform, of course, we have to think about the audience and think about who's listening, what their profile is, what their demographics are, what kind of context they're operating in. And I feel like, of course, for us, this is the space we love to play in terms of consumer and community identities and demographics and insights. And one of those key, I think, changes, of course, as to what we're seeing with audiences is new generations coming through. You've got more generations in an audience to kind of speak to. Is that something that you think, Mark, is really changing the future events in terms of the type of people that, I guess, attend them?
Yeah, definitely. You know, and it's not just those younger generations coming in who have been shaped in a different era with new technologies and different ways of learning content. Many of the listeners here will know of our research in the visual generation, multi-screening, shorter attention spans in terms of just wanting a bit more edutainment. So that certainly changed the dynamic of the conference program to accommodate the younger generations coming in, but also a wider age range of attendees and older people, not just younger people. So we're seeing a longevity boom. We're seeing people work later. We're seeing older people upskill and retrain in new careers. So they might have more work experience, but not necessarily a long length of experience in a particular organization. And so wanting the upskill as well. So you've got more age range, more diverse attendees, more cultural diversity as well. I mean, that's what's driving our population at the moment. And the populations of the workforce right around the world is the global flows of work and migration. And so different language backgrounds and different cultural backgrounds coming to events, just as we see in our workplaces. So understanding the audience of today, those trends and what that'll look like in the future is key for anyone putting on an event, a conference, or those of us that get to speak at them.
Yeah, and it's interesting, I guess, for us, because oftentimes when we're getting briefed by an organizer of an event, you know, one of the questions I often ask is around the audience, who's in the room, where have they come from, that kind of context setting piece. And then sometimes they give you the breakdown or the demographic of different audiences, and sometimes you get a really specific demographic. Like if you're talking to a bunch of school students, you know, who are a certain age or even teenagers, that's very different to a corporate audience where it could be anyone or a particular industry that has a bent towards a particular demographic. But it's always hard when you've got the full span, when you've got the, you know, maybe teenagers in there as well as people older. And I think that does mean you have to work quite hard at the message and the humor, because they are coming from different contexts. So it is really an interesting one as we think about, yeah, like you mentioned, the diverse range of people that we have in our society and therefore in our communities and in our audiences with regards to conference. So a lot more different perspectives to be considering and thinking about. So changing audiences, absolutely really important part of the future of business events, and to be thinking about how that's evolving and shifting and more people being involved. But also, I mean, one of the big ones that we often talk about with regards to just changing times and emerging trends presentations that we do, and we look at the big mega trends, is of course technology. And I guess in an era of particularly, say, remote or hybrid work, as well as in an era of artificial intelligence coming in and changing how conferences might be run, how keynote presentations are structured, what kind of technologies are kind of used and introduced. Do you have any insights, Mark, or any predictions around how the future of events might be changing or what might not change as a result of some of the introduction of new technologies?
Yeah, well, we might think, what's technology got to do with it? Because we're talking about the timeless experience of people gathering in a room with someone on a stage or interacting with other experts and learning together. Where's the technology in that? Well, it's key, and it continues to change. And if we've been to an event lately, we all know from the registration process when we arrive, chances are it's got those automated booths where we get the rego tickets register and log in, through to the event itself, where maybe questions or comments are being shared through a conference app. The program often is in an app form, and it'll give directions as to where the different stands are at the expo or where we go for those different workshop options, through to even in the event itself, not only asking questions through an app, but perhaps taking photos of those key slides or getting that sent to the website or the app so that we've got the content for later. When it comes to the networking side, it's not just now about swapping business cards, but doing the bump technology and sharing contacts through technology. So it's all changed, you know, from QR codes everywhere to recording an event. And even now, in terms of the experience, you'll have people that are physically there presenting, but there's also a lot more hybrid presenters or virtual presenters coming in from another place. And that's not unusual now in a world where we're more used to interacting from people not being physically present. So all of the technologies coming through, let alone, you know, AI and other transitions we'll see to the future, but all of it has a human-centric use. That is, that the technology being used for an event or a conference has to facilitate the human experience, not become the main thing. And where it makes life more convenient, more simple, more efficient in terms of process, or helps us record or remember the event and the content for later, that's great. If the technology's there because it's a novelty in itself or because it's sort of pretty cool, it can actually be a detriment. What we need is the technology that adds to the experience, and that's why we say the future of events is human-centered technology.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's amazing. I mean, we do a lot of in-person events, and I know I speak on your behalf and the other people in our team who go out and speak a lot of conferences that we were elated when the in-person events came back, because as amazing as the virtual was, and it was a great substitute in those times that we couldn't actually gather and meet together, there is really nothing like being there in person with people and kind of even just, I think, as a presenter, like looking into the eyes of the audience and hearing their laughter. And it does feel like you're kind of presenting into a void and you don't have the energy from the audience. So there's lots of different ways of presenting, but it's amazing as well, the benefits of virtual, in that you can, you know, you can join a conference that you might not have been able to afford to have attended with all the flights and the accommodation if it's international, or you can be involved with something and it just takes 2 hours instead of a week or whatever it might be. So there's amazing benefits of the technology. But I mean, we've got stories upon stories about these, and this will forever, Mark, stick in my mind. I hope you're okay with me sharing this story. I haven't checked this with you yet. But in terms of, like, we, if anyone's seen us present, they'll know that we rely very heavily on slides, and a lot of the insights and the graphs and the data is presented in really visually beautiful ways, thanks to the graphic designers we have on the team here. But so much of the punchline of the jokes are in the reveals and the timing, and it's all very expertly crafted because we do it so often. And just my probably worst fear is what happened to you when the power went out and you had to do it by candlelight. That's right, isn't it, Mark?
That's correct.
Oh my gosh.
No slides there, hardly even any visibility there in that. But it was a pretty cool setting by candlelight. And look, it's just about being adaptive. And if we've got a story to tell, if we're passionate about the message that we have and we know it well, we're experts in it, then, you know, while we do like to have the slides, and I think the visuals can reinforce the spoken word, we can still get our message across. And that was what I was forced to do on that occasion. But it's amazing, as I reflect back on a lot of years of speaking now, how that audience interaction has changed and technology has enhanced that. You know, when I began, the audiences, I'd take that briefing, as you were saying, from the organizer, who's the audience, as you'd expect, it's largely baby boomers and Gen X. That's how it used to be. Now it's, as you'd expect, mainly millennials and Generation Z filling the room. And so the generations keep rolling on, and the generations of today certainly integrate technology seamlessly, even into their conference experience. As you find, as you put the QR code up on the slide and all the phones come out and are taking photos of that or linking to that, some people are recording the session, getting direct transcription of the message, sharing it through social media, sometimes in real time. And so that message that we have, it gets spread far more quickly. Sometimes even there's a big media, social media campaign before the event, building the promotion, building the excitement about the event, and a lot of material sent out afterwards as well. So yeah, it's not just about those in the room anymore. We're speaking to a broader audience than that, with content in its micro form being presented, you know, in ongoing ways through other channels. And so it's recognizing the benefit of that, the widespread impact we can have through presenting, but how technology really leverages our messages and gets them to a broader audience.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I think that keyword integrated there is a really key insight and observation that I've had as well, in terms of how seamless that integration is becoming, and how much more simple for the audience member as well, with those QR codes and with other technologies that are being brought into the event experience for people. But I also loved your point there just around storytelling, and I think that's what we would say we are instead of professional speakers. We're almost data storytellers, or people who've got something to share, and that's what speaking at conferences enables us to do. And like you said, a great storyteller can adapt, and we have lots of stories around how we always have to adapt based on things out of your control, or things that are happening, or distractions from the platform. So yeah, it's never a dull moment in the profession that we have. So definitely technology, a big part of the future of events. Another one, of course, is another insight about, I guess, delegates. So we talked before about, you know, the changing audience demographics with regards to generations, but also in terms of, I guess, priorities that delegates have. And we've seen this in a few research pieces that we've done over the years around particularly virtuous consumers, and in this case, virtuous delegates, where people are increasingly placing the emphasis on social impact and how conferences integrate sustainability into various aspects, from delegate bags to food waste, and how they still deliver value for money if they are reducing that. And I found that too, even just as a, both as a speaker at conferences, but also as an attendee, when you're like, oh, they've got plastic water bottles, like, that, I thought that was kind of being phased out. Like, it's just interesting being involved with so many events, you get to like compare and contrast what's going on. But would you say that that's something that you expect and anticipate that we'll see more of as we look to the future of these types of events, Mark?
Definitely. And, you know, the audiences of today, the attendees, are tuned into that. You know, the generations we used to go to conferences and speak about, you know, Generation Z, even you'll remember in your earlier days, that was the key focus. They're now the delegates in the room that we're speaking to. And as we've always found in our research, and now we're finding in actuality, now that they are the delegates, the attendees, the employees coming to conferences, they don't want all of that plastic stuff. They do bring a sustainable mindset. And those delegate bags you'd get at conferences in the past, almost every one of them, to me, it seemed, had a little squish ball made out of something plastic. I never could quite see the purpose of it, apart from branding a company. Well, that sort of thing has had its day. You know, it's a generation that just doesn't want to see, an item that is not particularly sustainable in its content and certainly doesn't serve a particular practical purpose. So it's about an event that might have a bit of a sustainability focus, that certainly around food waste, for example, is tuned into that. We all feel that terrible situation of, you know, lunch being delayed or afternoon tea being skipped because the conference is running late, and you happen to look out into the corridor and there's plate after plate of amazing scones or chocolate slices, not a single one of which gets taken because the conference has to roll on and the program is moving with a 2-minute break instead of a half hour one. And so now events are saying, well, we've got to make sure that's repurposed, and we're combining with food delivery services that can deliver that to those in greater need, Second Bite or OzHarvest, etc. And so that's the focus of events now, to make sure that they're having a positive impact socially, environmentally, from a delegate experience, even from a cost experience, making sure that events are priced so that companies can invest into them and send more people, or so that individuals can go as well. And if there's a sense that there's money being wasted, well, that's driving up ticket prices. Can't we get a bit more financial sustainability into this as well? And so, yeah, it's looking at events that are efficiently run and that have that long-lasting positive impact.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely something that I think is really important that we're definitely seeing the change of, and I agree, will absolutely continue into the future. The other aspect, and the other, I guess, benefit that conferences and events provide is community and opportunities for connection, especially, I guess, in really large scale organizations. You get to meet people within your own organization that you might not get to in a different setting, in a different context. But then you've also got association events or industry events where you get to network with people from different organizations. So it's always really great to meet people at those type of events. And I'd be keen, Mark, to just hear your reflections just around, I guess, the purpose of these type of business events and conferences, and the opportunity they do provide for people to connect with people who are different, to gain professional input, but also just to have, you know, that community of purpose, that reason for going somewhere. Is that something that you see as a real strength of these type of events that we have the privilege of being so involved with?
It's so important. And as the world has moved more to a bit more of the work from home context on a regular basis, these gathering points in the year and in the rhythm of an organization become even more important, because conferences are where we gather, not just with colleagues from within an organization, but across an industry or a sector. And it allows for that cross-pollination of ideas, that connection, that inspiration as we learn together and share together, and that sense of gathering at scale with a large number of people. Even maybe a smaller event of 80 or 100 people, for a lot of people these days, that's the largest number of people they've been in the room with for many years, because their organizational town halls or gatherings with their team just don't have as many people these days. So there's something about sitting a room with others and that shared experience of the wow moment, the laughter moment, the learning moment, where we get some sense of alignment that we're in this together, even though we might be sitting beside strangers, we are in the same profession or industry or sector or association. And that aspiration that comes from that, that learning together, that shared moment is an important part of the human experience and is really only met these days through gathering at events. So it's got that social benefit, that shared learning benefit, that encouragement benefit that we're not in this alone, that ability to connect and network with others, swap cards and share ideas and interact even over the expo side of things or the morning tea. All of that is so important. So actually in the room, you know, real world gathered events have become even more important now than ever before and will continue to do so in more of a work from home world.
Yeah, I love that, Mark. I love that description of what a conference can achieve and the purpose it can have for people, both, you know, personally and professionally, with regards to the people that they can meet, to the idea that we use it as a place of learning and connection. And it makes me actually think about something that you had taught me in early on in my speaking career and journey, just about what you think a great presentation can do and what we try and hit in every presentation that we deliver, which is conveniently four words that all start with the letter I. So the first is to create interest. The second is to provide instruction. The third is to involve the audience. And the fourth is to inspire. So interest, instruct, involve, inspire. And I think about that's what I try and hit in every presentation I do, but also when I think about great events as well and how they create that sense of community, I do think that there is an opportunity to provide interest and involve the audience and give them instruction, but then not just leave it there, but walk away feeling inspired. And I love that when I've left great conferences, I do feel inspired, or you leave a great talk and you're like, wow, I'm feeling a sense of optimism or hope or inspiration. So it's great to see that conferences can play a part in that. Would you agree that they can try and hit those four eyes and it's important to do that?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's what the future of events requires. You know, that first one of interest matters so much, because to get people there, you've got to overcome a sense of malaise or apathy or cost limitations or effort, particularly with a lot more people working from home. Why should I turn up? And so building the anticipation of the event is so key. We'll often run research in the lead up to an event for the event organizers to find out what the lay of the land is across this industry or association. We'll say to everyone, these results will be shared at the first session of the conference. So fill it in and come and hear what the national snapshot is on this particular sector, on your peers. And that builds the interest and gets people along. Some of the pre-promotion, the social media posts of what they're going to learn, of what's going to come from the event, will build that interest. And then when they're there, you're obviously offering instruction. That's why they're coming. It's a learning event. It's to grow. It's to gain skills. So that instruction matters, but how the instruction is delivered now is different to how it was in the past. As we discussed, shorter attention spans. People are looking for multimodal ways of learning. We know that the younger generation are more visual in wanting to learn, not just auditory and written in terms of form. So getting the instruction across in engaging ways matters, which brings us to the third of the after the interest in the instruction, the involvement in the process. And when we surveyed conference organizers recently, we said, how do you break up the mix of the content as you plan an event? And now these organizers said about 50% is learning by, you know, sitting and listening in the conference, but about 50% of the time is participation, interaction through workshops or discussions or downtime or networking time. And that involvement, therefore, is a more important part than it's ever been before by way of time and by way of process. And that brings us to the final one, which is the inspire. So we've got the interest, we've delivered instruction in relevant ways, we've involved them in the learning process, and now we leave them with a sense of inspiration. And as is often said, you know, people might forget what you said, but they'll remember how they felt. And that is true of an event. You and I get to go to lots of events and participate in them, but you remember, oh, that was a great event. I remember the vibe on that or the feel of that, even if you can't quite remember everything that was shared. And I think that is so important these days, to have a sense of inspiration after we attend an event. Sometimes what we need, even more than the learning, is just a bit of encouragement to keep going another week, you know, to keep at it for the season ahead, because it can be hard working on one's own out there. It can be tough with lots of challenges before us. But if we get a bit of that motivation that comes by learning alongside others, hearing some great case studies, learning best practice from others who have turned things around, it's the heart change, not just the head change, that is so key. And so while the instruction connects with the head and the involvement connects with the hands, the inspiration connects at the heart. And that's one of the most important things we can get from an event. So when an event is catered around those four I's, I think it really has impacts. It has lasting transformation, and it's going to be key for the future. In fact, more important than ever.
I just felt like that whole answer was really inspiring, Mark. Thank you so much for sharing that. And yeah, for creating those four eyes. And that, I love that quote that you shared. I feel like that is probably one of my, like, it's a quote that epitomizes my approach to conference speaking, and just around that idea that people might forget what you said or you did, but they won't forget how you make them feel. And especially for us, as we're data storytellers, it's very rare that anyone's going to remember the many, many stats that we share in a presentation, but the way we share it and build it into story can have a big impact on them and can encourage them. And I think that's an amazing part of conferences as well, in that people might come in, especially to a business event, be like, oh, I have to, my boss made me come or my leader forced me to be here. But hopefully that low expectation can allow these event organizers who put in weeks and weeks of work into these events, we know because we work alongside them a lot in the lead up to it, and they pick and they curate speakers and content that, like you mentioned, hopefully does instruct and involve and inspire people. So fantastic insights, Mark. Thank you so much for creating those four eyes and for sharing some really fascinating insights on the podcast today, as always.
A delight. Thanks, Ash.
And if you would like to stay up to date with some of McCrindle's latest insights, you can always subscribe to the podcast. You can follow us on social media, or you can simply head to mccrindle.com for more information. So as always, thank you again for listening, and bye for now.